Today we begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach Masecht Bav Metzia. Masecht Bav Metzia, as Tosfos tells us, follows Masecht Bav Kama, because we learned at the end of Masecht Bav Kama, the last Mishnah and Gemara that we just learned spoke about a situation where a carpenter is working in the home of someone else, and there are wood shavings, and the Gemara and the Mishnah discussed who gets those wood shavings. A machloikis makes a difference if it's sometimes belongs to the owner, sometimes it belongs to the carpenter. So our Mishnah continues in discussing such a situation. We're here too. We will learn that loch is yachloiku, that what is that the talus we're going to discuss in a moment is divided between the two people holding the talus. Although Tosfos points out that the order of the Mishnayis in one Masechta is very specific, and as we know many times, the halacha is we have a situation of machloikis vach kach stam, or stam vach kach machloikis, all of those rules would only be applicable if all of the Mishnayis that we're following are in a very specific order. However, says Tosfos, when discussing two Masechtas, we don't necessarily say that the order in which the Masechtas were presented have specific halachic significance, because Tosfos says the way the Masechtas were learned were based on what the Talmidim wanted that the Rebbe should learn with them, and therefore the order of the Masechtas is not specific, the order in the Masechtas is specific. Yet as we explain, there is perhaps a reason why Bava Metzia follows Bava Kama. Specifically, we say, as we said at the end of the previous year, that Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra are actually all one Masechta, so there really isn't necessarily a factor to determine the separate Masechtas. Moreover, the Mefarshim help us understand the importance of learning Seid and Azikim, a Masechta like Masechta Bav Metzia. Because the Gemara in Masechta Tainus teaches us that once there was a drought, and Rava made a decree to Tainus in order the rain, to hope rain should come, and it didn't help. And his Talmidim asked him why in the times of Rabbi Yehuda, when he would make a tainus that it should rain, was he successful? And Rava said, it's interesting that in the time of Rabbi Yehuda, they specifically spent time learning Seder Nezikim, whereas in our time, we're learning all of Shas. So shouldn't our schus, our merit, actually be greater? So Mefarshim point out from here we see that concentrating and learning Masechta Nezik, the Seder Nezikim, has a special schus, brings a special merit that we should be saved from all sorts of tzaras. Moreover, we know that we say every day, Kol al shon halachos b'chol yoyim, muftach loy, shiben oylem haba. So Mefarshim explain that one is supposed to learn halacha every day, but obviously, halachas from Aruchayim, Yerudeya, are halachas that we all learn because we have to know how to live our daily lives. One could perhaps assume that learning Maseid and Azikin, Choshe Mishpat, that aren't as relevant into our day-to-day lives, maybe we don't have to learn. Say to Mefarshim, on the contrary, Kol Hashar Halachas B'chol Yoyim, Muftach Lo Shiben Olam Haba refers specifically to the halachas of Choshe Mishpat that one could perhaps assume are not relevant to our day-to-day lives. For really, they are very relevant. And really, knowing how to live with everyone else and not to take what doesn't belong to us is Muftach Lo Shiben Olam Haba, is our key to success Ba'olam Hazeh, Ba'olam Haba. So we begin our Masechta Shtayim Achs and Betalis. Two individuals are holding a talis as they come into court. And Zarim Animitzaseya, Bazarim Animitzaseya, each one makes a claim that he owns the entire talus by having found it. As the Rush points out, we're referring to a situation where a talus was found under circumstances where an announcement would not have to be made to point that, to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashabbos Aveda, that the true owner of the talus should be made aware that it was found, when it were perhaps in a city of non-Jews, where Hashabbos Aveda, as we will discuss later, and Hashir may not be relevant. Furthermore, the Gemara is going to explain that we're specifically referring to a talus that could be easily held by two individuals. And we have a situation that both of them say that they, each one of them says they found it first. Each one of them says that the entire talus belongs to him, and says the Mishnah, the halacha is, this individual should swear that he doesn't have less than half of it, and so should the other individual swear that he doesn't have less than half of it. And after each one of those individuals make the shvua that our Mishnah wants them to make, then they divide the talus amongst themselves. Tosfos points out that we find in Shas that there are a number of situations where there are dispute, where there is a dispute between two litigants who is the owner of an object, and very different piskei halacha are suggested by the Gemara. In our Gemara, we just learning the Mishnah, the halacha is that these two litigants should make, each should make a shvua v'yachloiku, and then they divide the talus. In other places, we find that the halacha is called the olam gvar, the stronger individual prevails. And yet in other places, we find that the halacha is that Yimunach Achiyav Eliyahu, Bezdin that lets the item sit until Eliyahu will be able to decide. And of course the question comes up, when do we say what? So Tosfos says that in our Mishnah, the situation is where we have both of the litigants having a chazaka on the talus that they're holding. And besides that they have a chazaka on the talus that they're holding, they also, as the Gemara would say, could both be telling the truth. And since it could be a situation that they're both telling the truth, that's why the halacha in our Mishnah is that they should make a shvu v'yachloiku. However, in a situation where they actually both have a chazaka, however, it's not necessarily the fact, or it's impossible that they both should be telling the truth. Here, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, it could be a situation that they both picked it up exactly at the exact same time, and therefore they both have ownership in this talus. There the halacha will be called on gvar, may the stronger party should prevail. And yet, where there is no chazaka, where neither party has a chazaka, there the halacha is yemunach achiyav eliyahu. But as we look at this ruling that the Mishnah offers of yachloiku, that they should divide the talus, the Mefarshim point out, how do we view this din of yachloiku? We know sometimes when a question is brought to Bezdin, and Bezdin is not quite certain how to resolve the issue, so Bezdin comes up with a compromise by saying yachloiku, that the money should be divided. What is the psak of yachloiku here? Does yachloiku here represent a specific psak of Bezdin, that in this situation Bezdin tells us that they should divide the talus? Or is yachloiku viewed as the same as we just mentioned a moment ago? Since we're not quite sure what to do, therefore leave the money and let them divide it as a compromise. And perhaps the question, this question, hinges on another question. As we said a moment ago, as Tosfos says, as the Gemara says, in many situations, the halacha, when we have this kind of a dispute, sometimes it's called the olam gvar. The stronger party should prevail. And there too the question is, what does called the olam gvar represent? Does called the olam gvar represent the psak, the bezdin is paskening, that the stronger party who prevails, that is, it's his we considered his? Was the kol d'olam gvar mean that Beis Din doesn't know how to decide the situation, and because Beis Din doesn't know how to decide the situation, let them, so to speak, fight it out between themselves? If we say that kol d'olam gvar is a psak Beis Din, then suggest the achroinim, we'll also say that yachloiku is a psak Beis Din. However, as we said earlier, in the situation where even though both are muhzakim, one must be not saying the truth, there the psak Beis Din is called om gvar. Whereas here, since it could be that both are saying the truth, it results in a different psak Beis Din. Psak Beis Din being yachloiku. But if we look at kol d'olam gvar, not as a psak Beis Din, but because Beis Din doesn't know how to resolve this dispute, and one of them is certainly saying something which is not true, therefore Beis Din says, kol d'olam gvar, you fight it out, so to speak, amongst yourself, so too will the halacha be that here, yachloiku is not to be viewed as a definite psak Beis Din, but rather yachloiku is to be viewed, the Beis Din says that we're not going to get involved, but we're not going to leave it to a kol d'olam gvar, since both of you may be saying the truth, and both of you are muhzakim in the talis, therefore the halacha will be yachloiku. Says the Mishnah further, Zayim akulishli, if we have a situation where one litigant says, the entire talis belongs to me, and the other one says that only half the talis belongs to him. Says the Mishnah, the one who claims that the entire talis belongs to him, that he doesn't own less than 75% of the talis, and the other individual says that he owns 50% of the talis, yeshiva shaylai b'pachs merviyah, should swear that he doesn't have less than 50% of the talis. And after these two shvuos are taken, zednot to shlosh chalakim, the first person will get 75%, the zednot to reviyah, and this one will get 25%. Ask the Rosh, in this case, on half the talis, there is no dispute. Both of them agree that half the talis belongs to one individual. The entire dispute is on the second half of the talis. So ask the Rosh, why does the first individual have to take any shvua regarding the first half? There's no dispute about that part. Says the Rosh, the reason Chazal said that he has to take a shvua on the entire talis, even though there really is no dispute about half of the talis, explains the Rosh, since he knows, everybody knows, that half the talis belongs to him, if all we'll make him do is make a shvuah on half the talis, then we're concerned that when he makes that shvuah, he won't be referring to the half that he actually is in dispute. But actually what he will think of as he's making the shvuah is he'll be thinking about the half that there is no dispute over. And certainly that is a true shvuah. In order to avoid that this is a way that the person should be able to get away with making a shvuah, even though it's not a true shvuah, Chazal required him to make a shvuah on the entire talis, that he shouldn't be able to get away when he says half, that he only means the half over which there's no dispute. And in fact, based on this Rosh, the Rishonim teach us, the Mefarshim teach us, how important it is that whenever there's a shvua that Chazal require, that the person making the shvua be very careful, we be very careful to make him say the shvua in a very explicit manner, that there should be no room that he should be able to say I meant, or actually as he makes the shvuah, he should mean something else. And it really is based on what we've learned many times, that Chazal assumed that people are very careful when they make a shvuah, that they should be honest with the shvuah that they make. And by being honest with the shvu they make, how can we be certain that they're honest, that we should be sure that the shvu they make is honest and not leave room for any misunderstandings? But then Tosfos asks another question. Tosfos asks that why is the person who says that he only owns half the talus not believed? He could have said that he owns the entire talus, and shouldn't we therefore believe him when he says that he only owns half the talus? So Tosfos answers that we can't use a migui lahoitzi. We want to use this migui to help him get money to get more, to get a bigger share of the talus. A migui is only used to help him obtain what he would have had anyway, not to get more. Another pshat that the Rishonim give is we don't say a migui mimamin lamamin, which means as follows. If I'm making a claim on certain money or on certain item that belongs to me, one of the ways to support my claim is that I could have had a better claim on this item, and the fact that I said this claim versus saying the better claim is a proof that the claim I said must be the truth. Here we want to use the claim that I want to use a migui to strengthen a migui from other money. I want to say that I could have said I owe the other half of the talus, which will strengthen my claim to the half that I claim. There, migui, mimamin lamamin, we don't say. Another pshat that the Mefarshim suggest is that a person who only owns half the talus should now come and claim that he owns the entire talus would be considered a migui de ha'oza. It's a chutzpah to say you own a whole talus when you know you only own the half talus, and a migui de ha'oza is not a migui that's accepted in halacha. Continues the Mishnah. Ha'yishnaim roichvim al gabri behema. Two individuals are riding on an animal. One is riding on the animal and one is leading it. And again, we have the same type of debate where each individual claims that he owns the entire animal. Again, Paskin's the Mishnah. This one should swear that he doesn't own less than 50% of the animal. And so should the other individual swear that he doesn't own less than half the animal. And as the Mefarshim point out, the lesson of the Mishnah here is that ownership of an animal can be achieved by leading the animal, not just by riding on the animal. However, says the Mishnah, Bisman Shem Maidim, when both individuals admit that they acquired this talus at the same time, or they have Edim to say that, then the halacha is chalkim, the halacha remains the same, that they divide the talus, but they chalkim below shvuah, they divide it, and the shvuah is not required. Points out Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Sefer Emes LeYaakov in explaining the Mishnah, that the Mishnah specifically says in a case where they both agree that they own the talus together, or that they have, or they're edim to that effect. However, says Rabbi Yaakov, what would be the din? These two individuals came to our shir, and know that the halach is that they're going to have to divide it. So they make up between themselves, you know what? Let's divide it amongst ourselves without making a shvua, and we'll avoid, as we just learned a moment ago, the need to make a shvua. Is that acceptable? Says Rav Yaakov, the fact that the Mishnah specifies that only Bisman Shehem Moedim, Oy Sheyeshlem Edim, is there no requirement to make a Shvur. But in every other situation, a Shvur is required. Rav Kveega asks, our Mishnah says that only if we have two Edim is a Shvur not required. Ask Rav Kveega, and we'll appreciate Rav Kveega's question more as we learn a Gemara in Amud Beis, that there's a concept of Eid HaMessiah, that even a Eid Echod sometimes could support somebody's claim, and if somebody's claim is supported by Eid Echad, a Shvuah is not required. So ask to Kivega, why does our Mishnah say that only if there are Eidim, only if there are two Eidim, is the Halacha that a Shvuah is not required? Why shouldn't the Halacha be, even if there's only one Eid, an Eid Messiah, that a Shvuah should not be required? Answers of Kivega, answers the Beis Halevi, that when we only have one aid, it can't be a situation where Shvuah will not be required. Since, if we have a dispute, as we do in our Mishnah, between these two litigants, each one claiming that the entire talis belongs to him, so if each one of them, or one of them, brings an aid to back up his claim, it's obvious that the other one considers this Eid Echad not to be saying the truth. So the Torah, says the Beis Halevi, gave two Eidim a specific strength. And even if I'm saying, I wanted a litigant to say that the two Eidim is not saying the truth, two Eidim are Pishnei, Eidim Yochim Dover, two Eidim have a specific strength. An Eid Echad doesn't have that strength, specifically in a situation where one of the litigants is saying that he must be lying. Ask the Gemara, why does the Mishnah have to teach us a case of Zayim HaNimitzusiyah V'Zayim HaNimitzusiyah, and then another case of Zayim HaKulshali V'Zayim HaKulshali? The Mishnah should have just taught us only one case. Answers the Gemara, that is exactly what is the case of our Mishnah. Chadak Tani, our Mishnah is actually only speaking about one situation, and the Mishnah is referring to such a situation. Zayim HaNimitzusiyah V'Kulshali. This one says, I found this talis first, and therefore the entire talis is mine. And the other person says, "V'zayma nimitzusiyah, I found it first, v'kula shali." Ask the Gemara if that's pshat in the Mishnah. V'listi nimitzusiyah. So let the Mishnah just say the words that I found it. And obviously, the person by saying that he found it is claiming v'ano yudana will know what he means to say the kula shali, that the entire talis belongs to him. Again, why do we have to have both cases in the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Itana, if all the Mishnah would have said was ani mitzusiyah, have amina my mitzusiyah, what is the definition of mitzusiyah? Risiyah, that I saw it first. And afagav de lo yosel yodei, and the Mishnah would be teaching us that even though the person didn't actually pick it up, just seeing something in the street, b'riya ba'al makari, it becomes his. That's why Tana Kulishli. That's why the Mishnah had to add the words Kulishli. The Bria Loikana. Just because you see something on the street or on the floor, it doesn't become yours. Ask the Gemara or Mimatzis Amrit. How can we have a Mina that the definition of Matzisia means Risia? That just seeing something would be enough for somebody to acquire an Aveda. Ask the Gemara, V'amar Avinoi, Matzasa, Dasal Yad Mashma. We learned the Gemara, Mesach B'Bekama, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. The Pasuk says, V'chein Tasal Chol Avedis Achicha, Ashitayv V'mena Matzasa. The Gemara there is discussing that the Chiv of Ashabas Aveda only applies by something found that belongs to a Jew, not by a non-Jew. And the Gemara suggests that maybe what the Torah means is only that something that belongs to Jew, we have an obligation to retrieve and return. But if something belongs to non-Jew, I don't have to retrieve it and return it. However, if I already picked it up, there, even though it belongs to non-Jew, I have the obligation to return it to him. That's why the Torah says, Umitzasa. That even if you already found it, and even if you already have it, you don't have to return it if it's a non-Jew's. So we see that the Torah uses the word mitzasa for something that is actually in your hands, not just something that you saw. Answers the Gemara in. Or mitzasa the crow to asli yadamashma. When the Torah uses the word mitzasa, it means something that you actually retrieved. Umiyu, however, tanin lishta da almanokit. Our Mishnah is not necessarily using the same terminology that the Torah uses. And therefore, perhaps, the Tana, when it uses the word mitzasi, would say, as soon as somebody sees it, he will consider himself as the person who found it. And perhaps one would think that by seeing it first, it becomes his. Tana kula shali. That's why the Mishnah had to go out of the way to use the words kula shali to teach us the Bereah ba'alma lekanalai. Just because you saw it first, it doesn't become yours. Ask the Gemara, on the contrary, the listener kula shali. Yes, the word mitzisiya, as we're learning now, can be misleading. So ask the Gemara, don't use the word mitzisiya. Just use the words kula shali. V'loibana mitzisiya, and we won't have any room for mistake. Answers the Gemara, Itana kula shali, if the Mishnah would have just used the words kula shali, hava mina, ba'alma de katani mitzisiya, I would think our Mishnah avoided using that word. But perhaps where that word is used, it means to teach us the bria ba'alma kani. Just seeing it first will be enough for it to become the finders. Tana ne mitzisiya, therefore the Mishnah uses specifically the words mitzisiya, and also v'hada tana kula shali, then the Mishnah also used the words kula shali, to teach us, Mishnah Yisera, by teaching us these extra words, to teach us specifically this halacha, v'shmina d'riya laikani, that seeing something first, doesn't make it yours. And point out the paiskin, and even though, as we learned the Masechta Bava Kama, and as we're learning now again, just seeing something first doesn't make it yours, still point out the Paiskim, there is going to be a situation where seeing something first may make it yours. What is that situation? The Farshim point out that, and I'll say it as I saw an interesting Shaila from the Paiskim. Let's say money is found on a bus. So if money is found on a bus is Rishus HaRabim, and money, as we will learn later in our Masechta, is certainly something that doesn't have a simon. And since it doesn't have a simon, the halacha is that just finding the money doesn't, what do you call, finding money, whoever picks it up, it becomes his. However, let's say two people are sitting on a bus, and there's $100 bill on the bus, and both of us see it, or I see it first, but somebody else picks it up. The one that picks it up is the one that it becomes his. However, let's say we know that typically on a bus, there's a certain section up front where only the bus driver could sit. Passengers certainly can't sit or stand there. And money is found in that section. And the bus driver sees it first. Since it's in a section that's specifically reserved for him, there, the halacha will be that even though he just saw it and didn't actually pick it up, it will become his. But the Paiskim can make another important point. Even though, as we're learning now in our Gemara, very clearly, just because you see an item first, it doesn't become yours, the halacha, point out the Paiskim, is that sometimes we are in a situation where people don't know this thing. In other words, let's say there'll be $100 bill on the floor, and I'll see it first, and I'll ask somebody to pick it up, and that person who picks it up did learn our Gemara and knows that my seeing it doesn't make it mine. The person who actually picks it up first, that's the person who it belongs to, and he'll assume that therefore it should become his. Say the Paiskim, now we're dealing with a situation of a Chilal Hashem, where the person doesn't know this thing, and we have to be concerned about that Chilal Hashem. Ask the Gemara, Omi Matzis Amrit, can we explain that our Mishnah is referring to a situation of Chadik Tani, that both the first two cases of our Mishnah, actually one case, Vazev Zek Tani, our Mishnah, the way it was presented, seems to be talking about two separate cases. Zarma Nimitzisiyah is one situation, and another situation being addressed in the Mishnah is Zarma Mekul Shali Vazarma Kul Shali. So how can we suggest that these two incidents are really one and the same? Therefore, Amra Papa, Vitamer of Simi Bar Ashi, Vamalek Kadi, the Mishnah is referring to two different situations. Reish of Mitzia, the Reish is referring to a situation of Mitzia where we have these two litigants disputing who found this talus first. The Sefer is referring to a situation of Mekach and Memkar, where they're arguing who bought this. And explains the Gemara, Vitzricha. And in both of the situations, the halacha is the same, that Yachloiku, they should divide it with a Shvua. And now our Gemara explains why we need to have two cases that actually teach us the same rule. And says the Gemara, Di Tana Metzia, if we only had the case of Metzia, Ha'vamina Metziyuhu D'Rabam Rabbanu Shvua Lei. In the case of Metzia, is where Chazal said that each of the litigants should make a Shvua. Mishum D'Mayir V'Amra La Chavroi La Midachos Lei. People could easily rationalize that what they're doing in trying to claim half of the item or the whole item for themselves is not that wrong. Because the person who found the talus didn't spend any money to receive the talus. So I rationalize, why should that person get the whole talus? He didn't do anything to earn it. Shouldn't I also deserve it? And therefore, somebody can rationalize, Ezel ispis vispalik bahadei. Let me also try to get part of the talus and at least maybe end up with part of it. And therefore, Chazal wanted him to make a shvuah. As we've been learning, a person's reluctant to make a shvuah unless it's really the truth, and that's how the truth will come out. Aval mekach u'memkar, in a case where both of them spent money to buy this, derech lamei mahachi, where there is no such rationalization, emaloi, that somebody who's going to lie and say that he bought something first, when actually the other person bought it first. We shouldn't let such a person make a shvua. And the Mefarshim explained, because there's a concept, if the person is prepared to lie and say that he bought something which he didn't buy, we should be concerned that he's not going to be concerned to say a false shvua. And therefore, perhaps Chazal should not impose a shvua in such a situation. Or the Gemara suggests the other way. V'itana mekach memkar. If we only had the case of mekach memkar, I would say who the Rama Rabbanu shvua lei. That's where Chazal imposed the shvua. Mishum demayir v'amra, because a person can rationalize and say chaveru demaykayov, my friend paid for this item, but not demaykayivna, and I paid for the item. Hashta the tzrichel the di. I need this item. It's important for me to have it. Ashklahanor. Let me get it. And let my friend have to go find another similar item to buy. And he won't lose any money. Because as the Mefarshim explained, the Mishnah will be referring to a situation where each one of us will either keep the item and the other one will get back the money. So there's no, I'm not causing my friend a financial loss. It's just going to be a tircha that he has to be the one to go find the item, not me. In such a situation, a person may rationalize. By Metzia, you can't make this type of rationalization. You can't say, let me keep it and let him find another Metzia. Because a Metzia, by definition, is something that's not always found. It's something that just happened that he found something. There, if somebody is willing to get into such a situation, we should not be able to impose a shvua. That's why tzricha, we need to have both cases that shvua should be made. Point out to Rishonim. So, according to this understanding, the only time a shvua is imposed is where there's room for rationalization, as we just explained. But in a case where there's no room for rationalization, the example that the Rishonim give is if both of us claim ani arektia, I am the one that sewed this beged, wove this beged, there, because there's no room for rationalization, the shvua would not be imposed. Ask the Gemara, why by mekach u'memkar do we go through this process of both of them making a shvua and then dividing it? Why don't we ask the storekeeper from whom they bought it, who was the customer for this item? And both Rashi and Tosfos point out a question. They say that the Gemara and Masechta Kedushin teaches us that a storekeeper has namonis, we could believe him to say who bought the item only as long as he still has the article that's for sale. But once the article is no longer by him, he doesn't have that namonis. So therefore they ask, in our case, certainly he no longer has the talis. So why doesn't he have the namonis? Why does the Gemara suggest that he still has namonis? So Rashi says that where does the Gemara say in Masechta Kedushin that the storekeeper, when he no longer has the article, no longer has namonis to identify the customer? That's in a case where there are two customers, and we don't know who really was the one that bought it. But in a case, which is the case of the Gemara here in the Avamina, when there's only one person who bought it, there the Gemara Masechta Kedushin says Rashi will agree that the storekeeper has namonis to say who was the person that bought it. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says that the Gemara Masechta Kedushin says that once the storekeeper no longer has the article that's for sale, he no longer has any namonis. So if so, what's the Gemara's question that we should ask the storekeeper to whom he sold it? He doesn't have namonis, he doesn't have the article anymore. Answers Tosfos, what the Gemara means to say here, and we mentioned this concept in the Mishnah, that this should be a situation of Eid HaMessiah, that we should ask the storekeeper who was the customer, and even though, as we said, the storekeeper doesn't have a full namonis, he at least has the namonis of an Eid Echod, that it should accomplish that person who the storekeeper identifies was the customer of this article, he shouldn't have to make a shvua. And that's what the Gemara's question is. The Mefarshim point out that from here we see that even though normally for every Dabar Shemamamin we need two Edim, when will the halacha be that we need two Edim? That's if somebody's holding something. Their halacha is that to take it away from him, we only could take it away from him based on the testimony of two Edim. But to establish, or to at least help establish, that something belongs to someone, there an Eid Echad is adequate. And the Mefarshim say that this concept we could use also in another area. The Gemara says, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches, Amud Beis, Amar Yudah Barav, Imale Shami Yisrael Shabbos Rishayna, if Klai Yisrael would have been Shem Shabbos, the first Shabbos that they had, L'shalt V'mum V'losh, they would have never, no nation could have ever prevailed on them. And then the Gemara says, in the same Gemara, Amar M'yachar M'shim R'shim Ben Yichoy, Imale M'sham Yisrael Shtei Shabbos Kilchasan, if Klai Yisrael will be Shem with two Shabbosos, M'yad N'golim, Mashiach will come. And the question is obvious. Here it says if they would have held the first Shabbos, one Shabbos is enough for them to have a geula. And here it says you need two Shabbosos. The answer is, as we're saying, to establish something, it's easier. And if they would have held the first Shabbos, they would have been Shomer the first Shabbos, that would have been enough. However, once they already fell into the trap of Rachmana Litzlan not properly being Shomer Shabbos, and they need to get out of that, you need two Shabbosos that are properly observed. Says the Gemara, actually that's the case of our Mishnah. Letzricha, that's referring to a situation in Nakam Tavayu, where the seller accepted payment from both of them. However, Mechad Midate, Mechad Bal Karche, one he accepted it willingly, and one forced himself that he should take the money. V'loyedana, and now he doesn't recall mihu midate or mi balkarche, who was the one that he accepted it willingly from, and one who was the one balkarche. So from here we seem to see that if we were to know for sure who is the customer from whom the seller received the money willingly, he would be the true owner of the item. So I saw that the Shailas HaTshuvos Mishnah Halachos uses this Gemara to answer a following question. The question comes up if we have a number of customers that want to buy a certain article. How does the halacha view who should get it? Do we say first come, first serve? Do we say other concepts? And based on our Gemara, he says, we see that it's the only rule that we follow is midate. Who the seller wanted to sell the item to, he has the right to determine who that individual should be, and that is the person who becomes the owner of the item. Ask the Gemara, Leimah Misnisin like Bananas, perhaps we should say that our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Bananas. The Bananas refers to a situation which we're going to discuss more in tomorrow's shir, a Gemara Masechta Shavuos, where somebody had workers, and in those days they didn't have a bank, but they had storekeepers. So somebody goes over to a storekeeper and he says, pay my workers what I owe them, and I'll pay you back. And now we have a situation where the storekeeper claims that he paid them, and the workers don't claim that they didn't receive their wages. And we have a machloikis in that Mishnah between Ben Anas and the Tanakama. The Tanakama paskins that both claimants, the storekeeper and the workers, swear and receive the payment. Ben Anas, however, says that we can't do that. How can we have a situation that they both come with Shvu Shav? One of them is lying. So Banana says we can't have a situation where they both should make a Shvua. Ask the Rishonim, how does the Gemara use the words Shvu Shav? It's not that they're both lying, one is a liar. So why does Banana use the words Elu Ve'elu? Furthermore, the Mefarshim ask, Shvua Shav, we know, means that if somebody goes and makes a Shvua on an item that's a frivolous Shvua. I say that my desk, which is wood, is made out of wood. It's a frivolous Shvua. Or if I make a Shvua that's something that's obviously not true, if I say my wood desk is made out of gold, that's a Shvua Shav. We're not referring here to a Shvua Shav. We're referring to a Shvua Sheker. So shouldn't the Gemara have used the words Shvua Sheker? Answer the Rishonim. It's not only the individual who's lying that's making a Shvua Shav. It's even the individual who's saying the truth in a Shvua. It's considered a Shvua Shav. Because by you making the Shvua and forcing the other person to make a Shvua, when you know he's lying, that's a Shvua Shav. You also shouldn't have gotten into such a situation to cause that the other person should lie. And that's a Shvua Shav, because you know it's a totally frivolous Shvua. It's not just a Shvua Sheker. So the question is, our Mishnah that does make them both make a Shvua, isn't it in contrary to the opinion of Bananas? Answer the Gemara Field Table of Bananas. Our Mishnah can be consistent with Bananas' opinion. Hasam, as we explained, Vadi Ike Shvua Shav. One of them, either the storekeeper or the workers, is certainly lying. Ike Shvua Shav. Hacha, however, in our Gemara, Ikel Meim the Lekeshvu Shav. It's not for sure they both are lying. Eim Tavai Bahadi Adadi Agbua, because perhaps they both picked it up at the exact same moment, and they both have ownership in the talis. And as Tosfos explains, what was the Havamina in the Maskana? In the Havamina, the Gemara assumed that probably, even in the case of our Mishnah, one of them is lying, and therefore Ben Anas should treat our Mishnah as he treats the Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos. And then the Gemara answers that no, they're not similar, because here indeed it may be a case where both are not lying. Now ask the Gemara, however, Leim Masnisim like Sumchus. Should we say that our Mishnah is not consistent with the opinion of Sumchus? Because Sumchus, Ha'am Mumman Amut Basorvik Chokim B'lai Shavuot, a Gemara we learned in Masechta Baba Kama. The Gemara in Masechta Baba Kama discusses a situation on Daf Mem Vav Aman Aleph, where we have an animal, a cow that was struck by another animal, and we find the cow who was pregnant, its baby by its side dead. And the question is, what happened here? Did the baby die? Was the baby born and died before this hezek ever occurred? Or did the baby die as a result of the hezek, and therefore the owner of the animal that did the damage doesn't only have to pay for the cow, but he also has to pay for the baby? Says the Gemara, Leim Masnisa like a Sumchus. Because Sumchus in that Mishnah says, Maman Amutab Safik, we have a Safik, and the Loch is Cholkin B'loi Shvua, where Shvua is not required. Our Mishnah requires a Shvua. Says the Gemara, Velmai, want to suggest that our Mishnah should be following the opinion of Rabbanon, Hamri, the Rabbanon in that case say, Hamoitz Mechaveir Olav Araya. And they're saying that, and the Mefarshim explain, over there the Rabbanon say that a Shvuah won't be the answer, Yachloiku won't be the answer. Yet our Mishnah says, Yachloiku B'Shvuah, Haimai. Says the Gemara, you can't compare our case to the case in Masechet Baba Kama, and therefore the psak of the Rabbanon here can be different than the psak of the Rabbanon in Masechet Baba Kama. Because I am Bishlam Rabbanon, if we follow the opinion Rabbanon, Hasan Doloi Tafsi Tavayu. There, we're not referring to both of them holding the item. So therefore, Am Rabbanon, Hamach Mechaveir, Olav Arayim. Here, however, Hatavay Tafsi. Both of the litigants are holding on to the talis, and therefore, the Rabbanon say, Palgale Bishvuah. Eli Amrit Sumchus, however, according to the opinion of Sumchus, Hashta. Oma Hasan Doloi Tafsi Tavayu. In a case where they're both not holding on to the item. Still, Sumchus Paskins, Chok and Bloy Shvuah, they divided between themselves without making a Shvuah. So certainly here, the Tavayu Tavsi, Lekoshkein, that they should do Yachloiku without a Shvuah. And it says the Gemara Fil Tem Sumchus. Our Mishnah could be consistent with Sumchus. Because Kiyom Sumchus, where did Sumchus say that they divided without a Shvuah? Hashem Vishama. Both the Mazik and the Nizik in the case of the Sechtam of Akama are not certain what happened. Avabari Vabari, our case, both of the litigants are certain that the entire talus belongs to them. Loyomer, their Sumchus will agree that it should be divided with a Shvuah. Ask the Gemara, Ularab Rafhuna the Omer, that Sumchus said his psak of Cholkin below Shvuah. Even a situation, Abari Vabari, where both litigants, where both sides are certain. The Mazik is certain that his animal didn't kill the baby. The Nizik is certain that the animal was killed by the Mazik. Still, Sumchus says his psak, the Yechloike B'loi Shvuah. So the question is, Ma'ik L'meimer. Again, why is our Gemara different than the Gemara Masechta Baba Kama? Says the Gemara, I feel time Sumchus. Our Gemara, our Mishnah can be consistent with Sumchus. Because Kiyom is Sumchus, where did Sumchus say Yechloiku B'loi Shvuah, Heichadika Dror de Memoina? And Rashi explains Dror de Memoina, where somebody's going to lose money. Either the Mazik is losing money that he's going to pay that he didn't have to pay, or the Nizik is losing money that he maybe was entitled to. Avil Heicha, the Lekha Dror de Memoina, in a case of our Mishnah, where there's no true loss, it's a Mitziah that they found the talus, loy, their Sumchus will agree that a Shvuah is required. Taisra says the definition of Dror de Memoina means where the question is an independent question without the Dintaira. In other words, the case that we described from the Masechet Baba Kama, both of these individuals, we have a real question, what happened? That has nothing to do with the Dintaira. In our case, the entire situation is based on the Dintaira, where we have these two parties entering with this dispute. Ask the Gemara on the contrary. If there were both of them, we'll follow Rashi's Peshat, have a loss. And we could furthermore say, each one is really deserving the money. Still says Sumchis, Maman Amutabas Safik Chalkin, Beloy Shvuah, Hacha, in Al Gemara, the Lekadrara Mamina, Diklamayim the Tavayu, and furthermore, it maybe does belong to both of them, maybe both of them picked it up at the same time, Loy Koshkein, that a Shvuah should not be required. So the Gemara feels time with Sumchis. Our Mishnah could still be following the opinion of Sumchis. Shvuzu, the Mishnah, the Shvuah that our Mishnah is referring to, is a Shvuah Midrabanan, is a special Shvuah that Chazal instituted to Rabbi Yochanan. Dom Rabbi Yochanan, Shvuah Zu Takonis Chachamihi, this is a special Takonis Chachamim, Shlei Kol Echav Echad Choylich, V'Toik V'Taleshish Chaveroi V'am Shleihu. We shouldn't have a situation where people start grabbing each other's Talesim, claiming that it belongs to them. And as the Pnei Yeshua explains, this is only in a case like our Mishnah, where it could be that somebody saw somebody else holding a talus, and he wants to get the talus, and the way he does it is by making this claim. But in a situation of mazik, we're not concerned that somebody went and specifically had his animal gore or somebody else's animal in a situation that would cause this type of hezek, that we don't know when the baby was born. That's not a situation that was set up. And therefore, in the case of our Mishnah, there is no reason to be concerned that somebody's going to go grab somebody else's item, and therefore Chazal did not institute, according to Sumchis, the need to do Yachloiku b'shvua, but rather they do Yachloiku even without a shvua.